So for today, as we continue on in this series, just want to start by asking you a question. And the question is, do you ever feel pulled in a direction that you don't want to go? And maybe it's somebody in your life, maybe it's some place that you're a part of, maybe it's something going on in our culture. Do you ever feel pulled in a direction that you just really don't want to go? Now, for me, I feel this in, fashion trends, okay? So, you know what's in right now? Mullets. That's right, mullets are in. I'm telling you, all across this great country, there are teenage boys going to hair salons, getting perms so that they can have curly mullets. This is real. And I'm just saying, look, if that's you, I'm happy for you, okay? That's great. I'm not going there, okay? I'm not gonna do that. I don't want to be pulled in that direction. And the reason is, I already did it, okay? I brought a picture from back in the 80s. I mean, been there, done that, already did the mullet thing. Like, I already did, you know, business on top, party in the back. I don't need to go back there. Now, the thing I've learned about fashion trends, because I'm getting old enough now to see this, is that pretty much every fashion trend is just a repeat of another fashion trend. Have you noticed this? Yeah, so the point of the message today is just, you know, whatever you're wearing right now, just hang on to that. Because 15, 20 years from now, you're going to break it back out and you're going to save yourself a lot of money. It's going to be great. Okay, that's not really the point of the sermon. But this question I started with, do you ever feel pulled in a direction you don't want to go? That's what I want to talk about today. So a more real example, American culture. You know, it's American society. Money is going to make you happy. When you finally get that thing, then you'll be there. When you reach that status, when you achieve this, then you will be happy. Now, I know that's not true, but I still feel the pull to want more money and status and achievement, and I'm guessing you feel it too. Maybe you feel it in your friend group. You've been close with these friends for a long time, but recently it's the things that your group of friends talk about. It's the plans that are made and the things that happen on Friday night that you're just becoming less and less comfortable. You feel like you're being pulled in a direction that you really don't want to go. Or maybe it's culture, like we already mentioned. Just some of our cultural, our societal beliefs and values. You feel pulled in a direction. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to go there. So the question is, what do you do when you feel pulled in a direction that you don't want to go? And here's the deal. For those of us who are Jesus followers, I just believe there will be times that our beliefs, our values, our faith are gonna cause us to go, you know what, I need to go against the flow here. I need to be counter-cultural here. But the question is, how do you know when you need to do that? And then also, like, how do you actually do that? And these are some of the things we're gonna talk about today. Now, Timothy knew some things about going against the flow and being countercultural. So this series that we're in, Rekindle, we're studying the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. But it's not a book, it's a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul written to Timothy. So here's a map just for orientation. Paul was imprisoned up in Rome. He's nearing the end of his life. He knows he's going to be killed for his faith. Timothy is in Ephesus, and Paul has installed Timothy as a church leader, as the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And Timothy, while pastoring in Ephesus, I mean, he experienced this whole thing about going against the flow. Because first off, Ephesus as a city, where it was a place as a Jesus follower that you were swimming upstream. So here's a picture. This shows you what the Temple of Artemis might have looked like in Ephesus. And what I want you to see and feel here is just how dominant the temple is in relation to the rest of the city. And that's what it felt like in Ephesus. Everything was about the temple of Artemis and the worship of Artemis. It was the center of the city in terms of culture and, of course, religion, but also economics. I mean, if you want to read a fascinating account, Acts chapter 19, Paul visits Ephesus, bunch of people start following Jesus, and sales in Artemis shrines really start to go downhill. And the people in the city freak out, there's a riot, and for 2 hours straight, they're screaming and yelling, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" I mean, these people were passionate about Artemis. Now, imagine being Timothy. It's like, oh, hey, by the way, Artemis isn't real. And can I tell you about Jesus? I mean, talk about going against the flow. But it wasn't just the city. It was even within the church that Timothy was called to lead. Because there were groups within the church who were opposing Timothy, who were teaching a gospel that was, well, a false gospel. They were opposing Timothy as a leader. They were opposing Timothy's teaching. So even within the church community, Timothy was going against the flow. So Timothy understood some things about living counterculturally. So this is what we're going to talk about today. How do you know, as a Jesus follower, when you need to go against the flow? And when you feel called to, led to, how do you even do that? Now, my hope for today is that some of us, I mean, it would just hit us, that we would just have a realization, there's an area in my life where I need to start going against the flow. And some of you, you're already there. I mean, you know it, and it's difficult. And for you, my hope is that Timothy's example, Paul's words of encouragement and challenge, that would just encourage you, motivate you, and empower you to continue faithfully following Jesus, even when it feels countercultural wherever you're at. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to explore 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at two examples that Paul gives Timothy for how and when to go against the flow. So here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 15 starts like this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So the first example is a worker. Now, before we get too far into this, I just want to recognize that there's a lot of us that are here today and also at our campuses, and we come from all kinds of different backgrounds in terms of church. I mean, some of us did not grow up going to church. Some of us grew up in the Reformed tradition. You know, this is West Michigan. Some of us grew up Catholic. And some of us grew up in a faith tradition where we wore this little red vest as kids. Anybody do this? Can I see some hands? Yes. Okay, there's a few of us. This might be kind of like a Baptist Bible church tradition. And what this was all about is you would put on this red vest and you would show up to church on Wednesday nights for AWANA, which stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And the reason I bring this up is the verse I just read to you, that's the theme verse of AWANA. And the whole thing was about memorizing scripture. You would show up, you would recite these verses that you would memorize, and you would get crowns and jewels, and you would get treats. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. I felt like I wanted to talk. And those of you who raised your hands, maybe you feel seen today, and that's great. Paul says, Timothy, I need you to be like a worker. What's this all about? Okay, let's highlight a couple phrases and words from this verse. It's not just any worker. Look at this. Do your best, approved, not ashamed. What we're talking about here is the kind of worker who does the work in the right way. It's like there is a way to do work that you can be proud of. And then there's a kind of work that really, honestly, you should probably be ashamed of. So the phrase is, do the work the right way. Now, I learned something about this a little while back for a work project that I did. because I finished my basement, okay? And I did this myself. And those of you who have done a project like this, home renovation or finishing your basement, you know there's two ways to do this. There's the way where you just kind of do it and you don't tell anybody, which is great. And then there's the way where you get a permit and you have to follow the building codes and you get inspected. Your work has to be approved. Well, that's the route that I took. So anyway, here's a picture of my base. This is my actual basement. And it kind of shows you my favorite part of the project, which was framing, which is where you put, you know, all the wood up, because it's like there was nothing. And then now there's structure and you got walls. I really enjoyed this part. And I was proud of it because I'll be honest, and this is probably obvious, I'm really not that mechanical. So I was very proud of the work that I had done until my dad showed up. And this is nothing negative about my dad, okay? My dad was actually there to help me with a different part of the project. But my dad is very precise, and he's detail-oriented, and he's the kind of guy who does things right the first time. And I'm a little bit of a wing-it guy. Anyway, so he said to me, "Hey, what's up with the wall?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, it's crooked." And I'm looking at it, and it's, by the way, it's the wall on the left of the picture here. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's fine, because the top and the bottom, I mean, the wall was straight. It was good. And he's like, all the studs, every single one, the vertical, they're all crooked. And I'm like, they are. You're right. They are. But I was like, but that's all right, you know, because the wall itself is straight. So it's fine, right? I mean, it's going to be covered up eventually. Nobody's going to see it. And he's like, no, it's not fine. Because when you go to put the drywall on, you got to be able to screw it into the wood. And the way you know where to screw is because the boards are straight. And I was like, well, shoot, this is a problem. So I had to take a sledgehammer and knock every single one of them out and redo the wall, because there is a way to do the work that is right and there's a way to do the work that is wrong. So you get the idea here. But Paul, he's not writing to Timothy to talk about finishing a basement, and you're probably not finishing a basement either. So what is Paul getting at? And specifically, what is the right kind of work that he's challenging Timothy to do? So let's finish the verse. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and here we go, and who correctly handles the word of truth. You see, Paul is connecting this idea of doing the work in the right way and correctly handling the word of truth. And the word of truth means the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God. There's a way to handle the scriptures that is right and good, and there's a way that is not. Now, a key idea here is these two words, correctly handle. In the original Greek language, what this literally means is to cut straight. It's a building phrase that means to cut straight, or another way to put it is to make level. So I brought my level. Let's talk about levels for a minute. You probably know how one of these works, even if you're not into construction. It's, you know, you got these bubbles here, and there's these two lines. And when you have the bubble perfectly centered between the lines, then you know it is straight. Then you know it is level. And I know what you're thinking. You have a level. Why didn't you use them on the wall? I did the second time, okay? So that's what happened there. But here's the question I want you to wrestle with today. What is the level in your life? In other words, what is it that you use to determine what is right, what is good, and what is true in your life? I think this is what Paul is getting at. So what is the level in your life? Is it you? Are you the level? Is it what you think, what you feel? Is it the circumstances you are in? Is that what determines what is right and what is good and what is true for you? Is it your news source? Is it our culture and what we believe as society together. And I believe what Paul is trying to say here is, Timothy, Scripture, the Word of God, is what needs to be the level in your life. It needs to be what determines what is good and what is true and what is right in your life. And see, the challenge here is that if you are the level, if you are the one, based on what you think and what you feel, that decides what is right in your life, then there will be times in your life when you're gonna have to ignore what Scripture says, or you're gonna have to move what Scripture says to fit what you think is level. And the same is true for culture. And maybe you feel this in our culture right now. I mean, one of the biggest ideas in our culture right now is that what's most important is your truth. The most important thing you can do is you have to be true to yourself, and you have to follow your truth. Well, if that is what is the level in your life, I'm just telling you, there will be times when you're either gonna have to ignore Scripture, or based on your truth, you're gonna have to move, you're gonna have to bend Scripture to fit your truth. Something else in our culture right now is just very hot topic, a lot of energy in our culture, cultural conversation, is just human sexuality, gender. And if what our culture says is the level, then I'm telling you, you're gonna have to ignore Scripture, or you're gonna have to move Scripture to fit. You will find yourself saying things like, well, that must not have been what Jesus meant. Or, okay, when Paul wrote that, it must have been for them, you know, it must have been for the Ephesians, but not really for us. You will bend, you will move what Scripture says. And so I think this is a hugely important question for us. What is the level in your life? And Paul makes this very clear in what he says next, because he begins to talk about two individuals in the church in Ephesus who had not correctly handled the Scriptures. They had mishandled the Scriptures. They had not cut straight. And listen to how he describes them. He says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that phrase to be pretty scary. Departed from the truth. They had left God's truth. Because here's the reality. God's truth cannot move. Because truth, I mean, all of truth is rooted in God's character. That's what determines what truth is. It's God's character that sets the standard. And so any time that we believe, well, we can just bend what Scripture says or ignore what Scripture says, we are the ones that move. In other words, we depart from the truth. And so the challenge for all of us is to choose to make Scripture, God's Word, the level in our lives by which we determine what is right and what is true and what is good. Now, back to the question, one of the questions that we started with, this idea of going against the flow, and when do you know if you need to go against the flow? When do you know if you need to swim upstream? When do you know if you need to choose, you know what, hey, I gotta be countercultural here. And if Scripture is your level, I think you will just know. It will be clear, and here's why. If what you think, and if what you feel, and if the circumstances that you are in, if they go against what Scripture says, if they go against what God has said in His Word, then you know it's time to go against the flow of your own thoughts and your own feelings. And when culture, what culture is saying, goes against what Scripture says, then you already know, okay, it's time to go against the flow. It's time to be countercultural. If the word of God is the level in your life, this it makes this question very, very clear. Now, I recognize that some of you are feeling, well, a little bit vindicated right now, maybe feeling a little bit empowered right now, because you would just go, look, I mean, I have been going against the flow, and I feel like I have been resisting some of the false truth claims in our society right now, but I just want to offer a word of caution before we start, you know, telling everybody else where they're wrong or, you know, throwing stones at our culture. I just want to offer a word of caution, because where Paul goes next in his letter with Timothy is not to condemn what's going on outside, out there, outside the walls of the church or our home or whatever. Instead, he challenges Timothy to look inside and to ask the question, essentially, where do I need to go against the flow in my own life and in my own heart? And we see this down in verse 20. Paul says this, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Now, this phrase that he uses, articles, this is, I guess, maybe the best way to translate this is stuff in a house, okay? So this might be the strangest point title in a message, but here we go, stuff in a house. This is the example that Paul gives. He says, look, in a house, in a large house, there's some stuff that's special. It's for special use, and then there's some stuff that's, well, it's just common. And I think we totally understand this because we have the same deal in our houses. So let's talk about special stuff and not special stuff. Here we go, picture. This, my friends, these are fancy plates, okay? This is fine china. These plates, these settings are for special purposes. Some of you registered for china when you got married, but it's so special, in 35 years of marriage, you've only used it twice. I mean, this stuff is so fancy, you cannot put it in the dishwasher. It is fancy. It is for special purposes. And then you have plates like this. I mean, yeah, sure, microwave hot dog, throw it on there, serve it to your toddler. It's common, it's regular, it's just for every day. It's not special. Here's another special item in your house. This is a special basket. My friends, this is fancy. This is decor, all right? This is stylish, this is classy. Ladies put some of their hundreds of throw blankets in fancy baskets like this, set them in the living room, and it is decor. And then there are baskets like this. It's not fancy, okay? Now, if you have five kids like me, you have many of these. But the thing about this is common. You don't have this out in your living room when you have guests over because it's not special. It's not fancy. Let's talk about bowls, okay? There are bowls that are so fancy that you can't eat out of them. No, you put decorations in them. You grow succulents in them. They are special bowls. And then there's this kind of bowl right here. Every family has one of these, okay? You can do a lot with this bowl, all right? You serve popcorn in this bowl. You put candy in this for Halloween, trick-or-treating. Your kid gets sick, that's the puke bowl also. It's multi-purpose. Also, randomly, it is the best bowl for making puppy chow. So all kinds of things here. But this is normal. It's common. It's every day. So there's a difference between special and common. And right about now, you're going, where in the world is this going? Well, listen, Paul's the one that brought it up, okay? Not me. But what is he getting after here with Timothy? All right, verse 21. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. When Paul says those who cleanse themselves from the latter, he means the common items. When you choose to move away from the common, it's like you are being made holy, like set apart for something special. You're prepared. You're ready to be used by God. So here's the point of what Paul is saying. He's saying, Timothy, you were not made, you were not rescued for common stuff. No, God created you in his image. You have value because you're made in the image of God, and you are made to reflect who God is in the world. Timothy, you were rescued so that you could partner with God in bringing the kingdom of God to this place right now. You were not created and rescued for common. No, you have been called to a special purpose. And so this is what it means to go against the flow. Don't just settle for the common cultural script. No, we are created and rescued for something special. My friends, you were created to know God, to walk with God, and to partner with God here and now in bringing his kingdom to this place. So don't settle for common, ordinary, normal. Don't live a life where the most important thing is your hobbies or video games or whatever. Understand, God wants to use you. He wants to partner with you. And so step into that. Leave behind the common. Now, this idea, I think it's central to Paul's teaching. In fact, he wrote about this in a letter that he wrote to the Ephesian church. And something I find fascinating about the New Testament is just how interconnected it is. You know, we have all these letters, but they actually are connected. For example, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Well, Paul wrote those to Timothy, who was the pastor in Ephesus. And the book that we call Ephesians, well, Paul wrote that to the church in Ephesus. So the same people, it's all connected. Now, I want you to see this idea. Paul's words to the Ephesians, for we are God's handiwork. This is a word that means masterpiece, artwork. I mean, in the context of what we're talking about, you are God's fine china. You're the fancy stuff created in Christ Jesus to do good works, a special purpose which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are called to a special purpose. So go against the flow and live that out. But the question is, how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, the good news is Paul gives us incredibly clear and I think powerful instructions in the next verse. So let's look at this. He says to Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This verse is just loaded. I mean, we could do an entire series on this verse. But there's three big ideas, and I just want to spend the rest of our time right here unpacking three ideas that really show us how to step into the special purpose that God is calling us to. So let's look at these three ideas. The first one, flee the evil desires of youth. See, here's the thing. If you're going to step into this special purpose that God created you for and rescued you for, there's some stuff that you got to leave behind. I mean, there's some stuff in your life that you need to run from. There are some things in your life that are keeping you from living with the special purpose that God has for you. And so the question I want you to wrestle with today is this: what do you need to run from? What do you need to leave behind in your life because it's holding you back from God's best? What is that? What do you need to run from? You know, something that I'm trying to run from in my life, something that I think is keeping me from the special purpose that God has for me, is distraction. I don't know about you, but it is just so easy to be totally distracted all the time and not really engaged with what matters most. And where I feel it the most is right here. And when I feel it, what I feel the worst about is I'll have my girls talking to me after, you know, school, we're getting close to bedtime, they're telling me about their day, and here I am, looking at Instagram or whatever because I'm tired, you know, work was long, and it just hits me. That's not the kind of person I want to be. I don't want to be so distracted that my kids just remember me as being looking at my phone all the time. I mean, I don't want to get to the end of my life and to be known for that. Just bear with me here. Imagine Aaron's memorial service. Okay, sad, I know, but imagine things that would be said. Yeah, Aaron, he was such a good guy. Wow, did he love his phone? But I mean, you think about how we spend a lot of our time and our focus. I don't want to be known for that. And so I'm trying to be more intentional about not being distracted, putting my phone down, engaging what really matters and not being swept into and sucked up in what really doesn't matter. And maybe that's where you're at too. If you're going to lean into the special purpose that God has for you, you got to stop being so distracted. You need to run from it. Others of us, there's something going on in your life that just does not honor God. I mean, there's distraction and then there's addiction, a pattern of sin. And you just know it is not bringing you life and it is keeping you from what God has for you. And I just want to challenge you, it's time to run from it. Because you will not be able to live out that special purpose that God has for you when you're trapped in this thing. So is it time to run from it? What do you need to run from in your life? So that's the first big idea from the, you know, how do I really live with purpose? There's going to be some stuff you got to run from. Now, second idea from this verse, we'll just read it again. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Timothy, there are some things you need to run after, some things you need to pursue. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. We're talking about good things that you need to chase after. And so, second question is this: what do you need to run toward? There's some stuff you gotta leave behind, and there are some things you need to run toward. What do you need to run toward? Well, here's something I think all of us need to run toward, and we've already talked about it. Scripture, the Word of God, making God's Word more central in our lives. And so just a challenge for all of us. I don't know what your habit is right now of engaging the Scriptures, but I just want to challenge you to up it a notch, to take it to the next level. I mean, maybe this is your habit. Gathering together once a week and listening to the Scriptures being taught. Listen, that is awesome. That is fantastic. I'm so glad that you've made this a priority. I would just challenge you, crank it up a notch. I mean, is it time to start engaging the Scriptures on your own? Start reading them for yourself. Sign up for our Beyond the Weekend devotional, or grab a devotional off of the YouVersion app or Bible Gateway app or whatever, but to just start engaging the Scriptures personally. Take it up a notch. Maybe you already have that habit. You know, that's awesome. That's fantastic. I'll just challenge you back to let's do this, back to the vest. Maybe this is your next step. Memorizing Scripture. And isn't it funny how it's so good for kids, you know, and our children's ministry is built around memorizing verses, but as adults, we kind of leave that behind. But when I think about the Scripture that I internalized as a kid and how those come back to me when I need them, it is powerful to put Scripture to memory. And so maybe some of us, that's the way that we can take it to the next level, is pick a couple verses over the next couple months and just work to internalize them. Maybe that is what you need to run toward. What do you need to run toward? Have you found a place to serve here in your church? I just believe that every single one of us is created and gifted, called to serve in the church. And you want to talk about living with special purpose. I mean, talk to a Lifeline leader, somebody who is investing their life in walking with, journeying with a group of middle schoolers or a group of high schoolers. That is significant. Just talk to some of our hospitality volunteers who show up week after week to make sure that every person who walks through the doors of our church has a great experience, A warm environment, a place to sit, it's somebody to talk to. I mean, that is meaningful. Have you found a place to serve? And so I don't know what it is that you sense God calling you to step into. I would just say, don't let fear keep you from taking that step of obedience. Moving toward, what do you need to run toward? Okay, one last idea. Again, flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Here we go. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Along with those. Question is, who do you need to run with? Timothy, don't do this alone. Find people that you can run along with. Other Jesus followers who are chasing after the same things. Now, I've said this before, but I think it's important, so I'm going to repeat it again. Following Jesus is a team sport. It's not a solo sport. It's not like golf, as great as golf is. Following Jesus is more like basketball, volleyball, baseball, football, where you're interconnected and your success is dependent on playing well together, where you need each other, where you travel through the highs and lows of a season together. That's what following Jesus is like. And I would take it as far as to say this. Whatever it is that you need to run from and whatever it is that you need to run toward, I just don't think you're going to be able to do it on your own because none of us is strong enough. We need each other. You need Jesus followers in your life who will influence you toward Jesus, who will encourage you, keep you accountable. How's that going? Can I pray for you? And so maybe I'll put it to you this way. Who are you going to tell about what you need to run toward and what you need to run from? Who are you going to tell about that so that they can encourage you and hold you accountable? And if you already know who that is fantastic. I would encourage you to have that conversation this week. If you don't know who that is, I mean, I'll encourage you to work on that. It's possible you already have Christian community, but you just need to take it to the next level. Take it deeper. There are already perhaps people in your small group who you could entrust. Take that conversation to the next level. And if you're just going, look, I got nothing. I wish I had people in my life like that, but I just don't. I mean, I'll go back to something I already said. Find your place to serve. Because just about every serving opportunity that we have here in our church is team-oriented. And you'll serve together with people. You'll get to know people's names and their stories. And over time, I believe it's possible that you could grow the kind of relationships that we're talking about. But finding a place to serve, that's a great place to start building those relationships. Well, let's wrap up. Let's wrap up kind of where we started or somewhere in the middle of this picture here of my basement. So I built a wall. Turns out it was crooked, knocked it all down, had to cut little support pieces. I couldn't use nails the second time. I had to screw them in, but I fixed it. I built it in the right way. And let me just end with this question. What are you building? I mean, in your life, what are you building right now? And is it good? And I think there come times in your life when you have to tear some things down and you got to rebuild. And I wonder if right now is one of those times. And so what are you building? And is it possible that right now is a time where you need to do some tearing down and rebuilding? Let's just land with these three questions that we talked about today. What do you need to run from? What do you need to run toward? And who do you need to run with? Just one action step and a conversation with somebody about what that action step would be. That's my challenge for you as we walk away. Well, as we close, I'd love to pray for you. So could I ask everybody to stand here in all of our environments? Just want you to know, if you are interested in serving, we have next steps out in our atriums. You can have a conversation there. And look, if you just need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with, if something just hit you today, I invite you to come forward to the front of our auditorium, wherever you are at, and people will be here who would love to talk with you and pray for you. And let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word that challenges us, encourages us. God, through your scriptures, you remind us of who you are. You remind us of who we are. And God, we just recognize that some of us, you are calling to go against the flow. God, would you meet us in that space? Would you encourage us? Would you surround us with brothers and sisters in Christ who will support and encourage and challenge us? God, we want to honor you with our lives. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you next time.